Broadcasting live from an Airstream somewhere in Tornado Alley, bringing you the people, places, and stories from the Panhandle to the Red River. This is your Only in Oklahoma show.
And welcome to the show. I missed out on another really cool interview. Harley had a chance to talk to Dr. Devin Denny about a really cool program called Everyday Earth. I'm Brett.
And I am Harley.
Once again, you came in the clutch with little to almost zero notice and hit, aim for the fences. And I think you hit the at least the base of the fence. I don't think you went over.
I think I hit the bench.
You hit the bench. Well, sorry. It happens. You have to understand, I'm on call.
You and this baby.
I know, right? When I had the chance to go,
biggest excuse I don't know how many times you get to use it. The kid's going to be 19 and be like, hey, man, I can't make it. Carson has a tummy ache.
But everyone loves babies. Well, almost everyone. But most people love babies. And if I throw him out there, and you've seen pictures of him, you can associate who he is. How do you say no to that? How do you tell his father, sorry, you got to come in anyway? You can't. You can't, and you won't.
Okay, but since he's been born, every time you show up, he's with you anyway.
He's with me, but
so
he's being held by your significant other. So I'm sorry, you have a vested interest now.
I don't disagree. The kid's cute, but it's a kind of a lame excuse at this point in time. You just throw him in a backpack and you bring him with.
It's a tired excuse.
Yes.
But I will say he screamed nearly the entire way here. I think he peed on Madeline. It's been a fun-filled adventure for sure, but I'm glad to be back and really looking forward to this interview because I like the concept. Interactive, at home, all the kids are doing it right now.
I really like the efforts that they've taken to incorporate things that kids in this area would be familiar with.
Absolutely. And again, there's some really cool angles. Don't want to spoil anything, but like I said, it's a great interview and a great program. We'll get to that right after this.
Today, we're pleased to welcome geoscientist, author, educator, producer, host, Dr. Devin Denny. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. So you seem like you have way more credentials than I'm comfortable going over.
I guess it depends on how you define credentials, but sure.
So you are one of the producers of a new program called Everyday Earth, which is a STEM-based online video program. Is that right?
Yeah. So Everyday Earth is an interactive video program for teachers and students. I'm a geologist by background, geoscientist, study the earth. And, you know, I live in Oklahoma, and just over the years going to school here, living here for a long time, just kind of fell in love with the landscape and the history of the place. And this surprises me. People drive by hills and drive by creeks and streams and rock outcrops and don't pay too much mind to it unless you're really attentive. But there's stories to be told there, you know, things that happened long ago. And we realize that, you know, students don't have a lot of exposure to that type of earth science education. So several years back, we did, you know, long before there was a COVID-19 or any other sort of demand on online learning, we decided to put together a program called Everyday Earth and take folks around Oklahoma and the Oklahoma region. It actually goes beyond Oklahoma a bit. Just to take some field trips and kind of understand, you know, what these stories in stone are out there around us and why they're important. So Everyday Earth that's what it is. It's an online program. It's interactive, so that's kind of cool. You know, I could sit and watch videos all day long, and I would probably find that interesting, but this is a little bit different. And then we have a storyline around this Everyday Earth core of scientists, and you are a participant in this. And you, as you watch the various movies of us going around, you get to participate with us in these science investigations. So stop at a rock, look at a rock, do things. So it's kind of cool that way.
Well, it sounds cool, but how exactly are you making it interactive? Can you kind of give us some behind the scenes?
Yeah, so, you know, we produce it very much like you would produce a movie or a television show or any other video. We have a crew, myself and others, go out to locations around Oklahoma, and we shoot segments of that. Todd Kent is the producer of Everyday Earth, and we go out and scout locations, find these places, and tell these stories kind of piece by piece. And then we have some software behind the scenes that we can actually stitch together in sort of a decision tree, so to speak. So if you've ever gone out and watched Netflix, they have a new interactive service, and you can see various interactive programs where as you watch, you make some choices, kind of yes or no, left or right. And the outcomes of your choices guide you through what could be different outcomes for the video. And so we've taken the same technology and applied it to, you know, rocks in Oklahoma. And so I might, you know, have a fork in the trail and want to go left or right, and that could influence the rocks I see or the trees I see or the hills I see. So it's kind of fun. It's a challenge to edit this stuff and put it together. It really is, but it's fun to kind of see it all laid out.
So it sounds a lot like the old school choose your own adventure comic books style. Is that kind of what you were going for?
That's a very good description of how it works. Yeah, it really is a decision based interactive adventure is what I like to call it. You know, where you are kind of in control of your own destiny, so to speak. Now, when we're working with teachers and we're working with administrators of schools, one thing we have to assure them is that we've cleverly designed it in such a way where the students don't actually miss information that's important. So if I'm going to learn about evaporation or precipitation in one of our modules where we talk about that, then they're going to get that information, and they might get it in a couple of different ways, depending on how that plays out. And they might access it through different pieces of data. And they actually go and gather the data themselves through the interactions, and they sort of track how that data fits together and then reason, you know, which of our hypothesis of what's going on here makes the most sense. So it fits really well with science teachers, but to be honest, it's great for everybody. Homeschoolers are using it. You know, individual users are using it. And it is free. So we work with Oklahoma corporations, and they help us fund the production of Everyday Earth. And they make that available then for free to schools around Oklahoma. So it works out well for everybody.
Well, again, sounds really interesting. I do want to back up just a minute, though. It sounds like you guys are having to do a lot of production that I didn't see from the get-go. If you are covering the bullet points in a syllabus for a class, and it doesn't matter which trail the student chooses or what actions they choose to do at one particular time, they still cover all of the information. So the amount of moving pieces there has got to be huge.
You have to manage it. If you don't do a lot of work up front with the script and kind of storyboard these things out, yeah, it could get away from you pretty quickly. If it was a fictional story and I really wanted to have, you know, really wide variety of endings, you know, you wouldn't necessarily be seeing the same things that you need to see to teach with. But the way we work this, it's almost like, if I'm hiking down a path, you know, and I can take little side loops, you know, some side loops I can take, some side loops I can skip. But at the end of the day, we end up in the same place no matter how you go. And so how we do that, that's how we make sure that they get the education components in there. But it still feels to them like they're doing something. They're actually out with a geologist looking at a scene and trying to interpret what's going on.
It sounds
It's a lot of work.
It does sound like a lot of work. It also sounds like this is really something that would be good for any student from any location to take part in. But for the students, for the people accessing this from Oklahoma, they're going to see a lot of familiar sites: Turner Falls, Devon mm-hmm. Tower, that sort of thing. Do you have any favorite Absolutely. Places that you've been through this process? That you want to share any stories about?
I think we have crisscrossed the state several times at this point. You know, Oklahoma has some really, really amazing geology. Believe it or not, people come from all over the country to the Arbuckle Mountains in south central Oklahoma because it's the history that's exposed there is unique in America. The very old mountain ranges. I like to tell the stories of you know, mountain ranges the size of the Himalayas in Oklahoma, and how it's been so long, and you know that those have been eroding away that just the nubs of those mountains are left. But Turner Falls is a great one. Turner Falls is a beautiful place, but it's very unusual. Most people don't realize that. You know, most waterfalls form through erosion, so as water comes over the side of a cliff, it erodes back, and that waterfall kind of migrates upstream over time. Turner Falls is the opposite. It actually grows downstream because it forms through a different process. It's actually constantly depositing new rock. So every time you go to Turner Falls and look at it, it's a bit bigger, a little bit different than it was before. It's physically growing as you watch it.
Okay,
which is very unusual. So,
what is the process behind that?
Mind blown?
Yeah, a little bit.
That's a great story. So all of the water in the atmosphere absorbs a little carbon dioxide, so it becomes slightly acidic. You get carbonic acid. And as that falls on the limestones of the Arbuckle Mountains and percolates through, it dissolves some of that limestone into solution. So it's carrying a little bit of liquid rock with it. And it's got some carbon dioxide with it as well. And over time, eventually, that water makes its way out the side of the hill and springs, and we get Honey Creek, which is the little creek that feeds over Turner Falls. So we've got a nice little creek super saturated with calcium carbonate, this limestone that's been dissolved by this acid rain, so to speak. And as it flows, it's slowly losing some of that carbon dioxide gas. And when it goes over the crest of Turner Falls, something cool happens. It's kind of like if you turn the top off of a soda bottle, all the gas comes off. And because of the gyrations and the turbulence of the water, and that causes the water to basically say, oh man, I can't hold this limestone anymore. And so it pops it right there at the crest of the falls.
Wow.
And so you get this sort of, you know, it looks like a slide. You know, it looks like you could slide down it. It's travertine, which is banded limestone that forms almost with every layer of water that goes over. It's laying down a few atoms.
Huh.
And over time, it grows and grows. So it's a very unusual kind of cool thing. It's more like a cave and how caves grow stalactites and stalagmites versus Niagara Falls or something like that.
I've been there many, many times, and I had no idea. Somebody needs to put up a sign.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's why we wanted to do this. You know, there's so many cool stories like that, you know, and sometimes people know, and sometimes people are completely oblivious, but nature's fascinating. It's very dynamic. It's always working. You know, I've been to several places, multiple times, Turner Falls included, and it's never quite the same twice. So it's a neat world. And Oklahoma's got a lot of neat places like that.
It does. And that's one of the reasons we started the show is there's just so many hidden treasures through the state of Oklahoma that the vast majority of the residents have no idea about, that we really wanted to kind of focus and highlight some of the more fun and interesting aspects of the state. And you guys are doing a great job. So your program is produced by the Oklahoma Geological Foundation, is that correct?
Our company is called Esteem. It's the Esteem Company, and we produce educational videos. We partner with the Oklahoma Geological Foundation to produce Everyday Earth in Oklahoma. So there are partners. I'm actually a director on the board of the foundation as well. So, yeah, we've partnered with several large companies and small companies and foundations here in Oklahoma, Devon Energy, Chesapeake Energy, several energy companies, several foundations to put this together. People, corporations have been very generous. They see the possibilities and where this could go. And, you know, we've been doing this now about 2 years, and we have 2 of our 10 planned episodes, or what we call missions, because there is a storyline. It's interesting. I think, anyone from kindergarten up to about 6th grade finds something with our story that's fun or silly or fascinating, but We do have a bad guy. You got to have a bad guy if you're going to have a story. And we have a bad guy named Dr. Desmond Discord. And he is after a mythical mineral called estimite. And estimite is the power that runs a couple of special pieces of equipment that we have. One is called the Terravator. And the Terravator is a refurbished soda machine that can travel through matter and up, down, left, and right. So, of course, when we need to go look at a magma chamber, it's hard to do that from downtown Oklahoma City without some way to travel through to see it. So we have a soda machine that'll take us there. It's a little bit of a magic time machine or a magic school bus or something like that. So we've got a whole storyline around some of these tools and how we chase Desmond Discord and try to get our estimate. But the stories differ from mission to mission. We're going to have 10 missions. Each of those 10 missions actually teaches a part of what you call the four spheres of the Earth. So the first two are the hydrosphere. So we work on water in the very first mission, the hydrologic cycle. Talk about evaporation, precipitation, so on, and how that interacts with the Earth. And that whole Turner Falls story that I just gave you, is actually a lesson within that module or mission. And our second mission is around erosion and weathering. So how a water shapes the Earth, right? And so we look at landforms and canyons and hills, those kinds of things, glaciers even. Sometimes we have to leave Oklahoma, as awesome as Oklahoma is. We go to Colorado, to the Rockies, when we want to look at glaciers because they're in short supply here. We've gone to the Mississippi Delta, taken a boat out to the end of it. Those kinds of things are very good places where you can tell stories, but we relate it back to this part of the world. So there's a lot in there, the next two missions will be about the next four missions will be about the geosphere or the lithosphere, which is the hard, rocky part of the Earth. And then we'll wrap up with the atmosphere and biosphere at the end. So by the end of it, teachers will have a complete storyline, education tool that's kind of fun. There's a kooky story that goes with it. It's got some interactivity, and it features all these awesome Oklahoma places. So I think anyone that gets in there and plays with it, and I think would appreciate all the all of the thought and work that's gone behind it.
I can definitely see the thought and work going into it. And other than, say, 46-year-old men from central Oklahoma, who's it really geared towards? What age brackets are you really shooting for?
We're shooting for that fourth to sixth grade. That is our central point. We want to make this standard. So we've gone from the educational side. We really tie back to the standards. So the things that are needing to be taught, we've got new standards coming out this year. And sixth grade is going to be our big grade. But to be honest, I get emails from parents that have kindergartners and have second graders, third graders that love to get in it. And it's amazing what they learn at those ages. It's just the material for public and for Oklahoma schools is geared toward that fourth, fifth, sixth grade age range. So, which is about what my true intelligence or education level really is. So I think that's probably why it's such a good fit.
It sounds great. It sounds like a great program, and you guys have quite a long road ahead of you to round out the whole project. How can people best keep up with your project or learn more about Everyday Earth?
That's a great question. So they can come to the website for Everyday Earth itself, which is www.everyday-earth.com, everyday all one word. Or they can follow us on social media at Geology Video and find all sorts of, we've got Facebook pages, we've got, we're all over the internet. As a matter of fact, we have a lot of material and other programs out there. We have a YouTube program called Geology Kitchen, which is one that's currently being used in a lot of schools, where we basically use food to teach earth science concepts, which is kind of cool. Anyone can see those programs as well. They can go to the site, follow us on social media at Geology Video. And, You know, there's emails on there, and I would say anybody out there that looks at that stuff and has a great idea for a potential lesson, shoot us an email. We like to hear stuff like that.
Perfect. So. Perfect. Well, Dr. D, we really appreciate you being on the show. It's been educational.
Fantastic. So that's what I'm here for. So no, I appreciate everybody. I appreciate the interest in Everyday Earth, and hope everybody goes and checks it out.
And we're back. We're back. And we're interactive. It's the state of the universe right now. I kind of feel like if you're not doing it from everybody's homeschooling.
The thing about this is a 2-year-old problem. I mean, it's 2 years in the making with, you know, several more left to go.
But now more than ever, it seems like it's more important than maybe, you know?
I really feel like no matter your stance on COVID-19, right. I really feel like there are going to be a lot of people moving forward who decide they want a more prominent role in their children's education, which I think is great.
Is this, in your opinion, a step towards some type of, I hate to say it, everybody says the embrace the new normal. Do you think, in your opinion, from talking to him, that this is something we're going to see more of?
Yeah, well, for sure. I'm honestly surprised that we don't already have more of it in our society right mm-hmm. now. Because it's something that you can have, you know, a few people
mm-hmm.
educate a lot of people, obviously.
Right.
How many people go to YouTube to learn how to change the alternator in a 2001 Honda Civic?
Two that I'm aware of.
Right. But that's not going away.
Right.
So anytime anybody needs to go and change the alternator in a 2001 Honda Civic,
there'll always be a market for that.
It's always going to be there. That guy doesn't have to go and individually teach every single mm-hmm. person how to do this. He did it one time. So it's already happening outside of the education system.
Well, it happens not even at your elementary, high school, junior high level. College professors have been doing it for a while. I know some adjunct professors at OU that do video. Their primary function is doing video classes for the masses, basically.
Right.
So it's not a new concept.
I just think it's going to be more prevalent. I think over the last few weeks, the last few months, people have seen how much work their kids do on a regular basis. A lot of people have enjoyed being a part of it. A lot of people have enjoyed taking the lessons and expanding them,
mm-hmm.
spending more time with their kids involved in their education. So I honestly believe you'll see an uptick in this type of activity.
Yeah, it's kind of taking homeschool to the next level.
But enough of us pontificating right. upon the future of mm-hmm. education.
How about the future of us?
No, come on, what? Dr. Denny.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The guy is wicked smart.
Wicked smart, great personality. You know, you put doctor on the front of anyone's name, and you immediately go, oh, this is going to be a snoozer. I mean, I'm just saying. I've met a few doctors that weren't, I mean, typically the ones that are dealing psychiatry or psychiatrics have a little bit more character. But yeah.
I think the guy's got a great personality for it. You can tell. I mean, he's really polished.
Uh-huh.
And I think that he has
he's got a hand on the pulse.
The Bill Nye yeah. kind of yeah. vibe or.
It's cool to be, you know, it's hip to be square.
It's not even that. He's just good at it. He's right. good at presenting the information.
Right.
When he was talking about Turner Falls.
You were engaged.
I was enthralled.
Right.
Could have listened to him talk about that for the next 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got a good presentation. He's engaging. The information, the way he's honed it
yeah.
is relevant,
mm-hmm.
educational, and fun.
Right.
So I'm super impressed.
Well, great interview. And we've got more things from us on the way. I know we've been kind of trickling in and trying to make time, but I think I don't want to say too much, but I think we're actively pursuing some really cool things, I think.
I agree with that 100%. And with that, this has been the Only an OK Show. I am Harley.
And I'm Brett.
And we're out of here.
Peace. The Muppets.
Muppets. Muppets.
So I have, I got a record player for my birthday.
I saw.
One of the albums that I bought myself a while back was the Muppet Movie soundtrack. So I put it on, and the first song on the soundtrack is Rainbow Connection. I cried. Seriously.
I believe you.
The Rainbow Connection. I was like, I'm done. I was sitting there, and I started, and I had to stop. She's like, what? I said, I can't listen to it anymore. The words are so poignant today. I cried.
Why are the words so poignant to today?
Listen to it. Listen to Rainbow Connection.
I don't want to. Can you just explain? I don't need to. I don't need a media.
It's no, stop it. You're going
to
do that.
No. I don't need a media presentation to understand something. Can you just.
Okay. Let me do it. Let me illustrate it for you. Give me a second.
No.
Yep.
Dude, I'll leave the room. I'm not kidding.
Because you don't want to cry?
Because I don't have time for that shit.
Yes, you do. Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions. They're only illusions. And rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some chose to believe it, but I know they're wrong and wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the Rainbow Connection. The lovers, the dreamers, and me. Who said that every wish would be heard and answered when wished on a morning star? Somebody thought of that, and somebody believed it. And look what it's done so far. Come on. What are you doing? We're not doing Hidalgos. I said Hidalgos. God dang it. We're not doing Hidalgos. God, why? Why?
Really?
It's 2 miles from my house. Hidalgos. We're not doing Hidalgos. We're not. We're doing Hidalgos. We've already done Hidalgos.
Hidalgos.
It's hard not to say it. Say it right now.
Hidalgos?
You did it. You did say Hidalgos.
Hidalgos.
Right. Hidalgos.
Yeah, not Hidalgos. No,
or not Hidalgos. You said Hidalgos. You sure did.
I did not say L twice.
You said Hidalgo. You did. You went Hidalgos.
No, I didn't. I got the right L in the
say
right place.
Now.
Hidalgo.
You just said Hidalgo. You did.
Hidalgo.
You went Hidalgo.
But no, anyway. I did not. You can't hear.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. And welcome to the show. We had a chance to talk to Dr. Devin Denny. Denny, let me say it again, please. 3, 2, 1.